Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
It is a pleasure to do Exploring Missions. It helps AFR carry out much of its mission statement, and that is to take the Great Commission or the gospel around the world, starting everywhere at home and then to lands far away. And today, Nathan and I want to share with you that God has specifics concerning individuals that He wants to reach all the nations and all the tribes, all the people groups. But Nathan, there's one particular group that Paul said his heart and desire was for them to be saved. Now, God wants everyone saved. We understand that. But it seems like this particular group that was called out years and years ago, Abraham's family, there's special attention given to them, and Paul caught up on that in Romans chapter 10.
Yes. He would write to the church at Rome, which was a good mix of Jew and Gentile, and there seems to be some confusion on the believers' part of who was to receive preference or how they were supposed to interact with each other and to see each other and get along between Jew, Gentile. But these are believers in Christ that Paul is writing to. But he says this in Romans 10, 1 and 2. "Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal." So he was talking about those outside of the church, outside of Christ, but that God still has a heart for, Paul had the heart for, the people of Israel to be saved.
And even today, with the nation of Israel, reconstitution in 1948, and them right now, they're being bombarded severely as a nation. But there's so much witnessing going on, Nathan, there. I've been able to talk to two or three different ministries, and they're saying God is moving in that land. And even here in America and other locations where the Jewish population is pretty high, we're seeing that they're looking and saying there needs to be something else, and we're praying they come to Christ. And so we praise the Lord for those ministries that are directing their ministries toward them, but also while they're doing that, they're gathering others as well. Just exactly like you said about the Apostle Paul. Yeah, he was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he didn't leave the Jewish community out, did he?
No, absolutely not. And so it's good when you are working in a mission field, which we all are, in one degree or another, but when you're intentional going out to proclaim the good news of Jesus, to make disciples of all the nations, it's good to have focus to that. And Paul's focus was to work with Gentiles, to bring the gospel to them, to make disciples among those people groups that would be considered non-Jewish or not of Israel or Gentile. However, he did not neglect those that were of Israel, those that were Jewish. And so that's the point. You can have a focus and still not neglect those that are around you and those that God is working among and wanting to see them come to follow him. And so even today, you go to Joshua Project and you look up just the nation of Israel, and we know that there are more Jewish people outside of the country of Israel than within it. But even within the country of Israel, there are multiple people groups, including Jewish peoples. So even just from a strategic missional standpoint, Jewish people around the world are considered to be unreached with the gospel of Jesus even today. So we need to have a focus among those people that God loves and has a special plan for.
So in your community, you're listening, and you're looking to see the fields that are wide unto harvest, There may be a focus group, but do not overlook those that you may have an opportunity to share Christ with them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this interview that you will follow, you will hear what God is doing among the Jewish people. But it's reaching further than that, because the Jewish community, no matter where it is, in Israel or other places, is surrounded by other groups and people groups, and the opportunity to reach out to them is reality. So we're thanking God for all that God is doing, and we want you to be on mission for God and enjoy this interview that I think will arouse your prayer life for the nation of Israel. Our guest today on Exploring Missions is someone that I've been hearing about for a few weeks. One of our workers here, the co-workers and co-laborers in the ministry here at AFR, is John Riley. And John was telling me about our guest today being in, and he knew me well enough to know that I would want to have this man on Exploring Missions. So we're excited about having with us today Kobe Ferguson. Kobe, welcome.
Hey, shalom. Great to be here.
Tell us about the ministry that God has brought you into. You continue it, and God is using it for His glory.
So the name of the ministry is Maoz Israel. So Maoz, M-A-O-Z, is a word that means strength or fortress in Hebrew. It comes from quite a few scriptures in the Old Testament that refer to the Lord is our strength. And so that is where we know where ultimately our help and our strength comes from, is the Lord. And my mother-in-law's first trip to Israel was in 1958. And her, since we're talking about missions today, I think you'd find it interesting. So her parents started a ministry called Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. And so their vision was to see the gospel go to the nations. And she ended up moving to Israel permanently in 1967. And it was as Israel had just taken back Jerusalem as its capital. And she said the air was just electric, and people were just, they knew that something happened. We're in a new era now. And she began to feel from the Lord, okay, maybe I need to stay here permanently and move to Israel. So she made Aliyah, immigrated. She was as a Jewish believer in Jesus. And then my father-in-law came shortly after from Hollywood. He was an actor, and he was actually in the NFL, and he's like a Renaissance man. He had all kinds of different things he did in his life. Yeah, he was a wide receiver for the St. Louis Cardinals. Remember, they used to be.
That's back in my day.
They used to be in St. Louis. You know, people say, where are they now? Arizona or somewhere. So they moved there, and they began to think, okay, what do we do to see Israelis saved? Because we know the scripture says that we're going to bring, the Lord will bring them back into their land, and then there in the land, they'll get saved. But they only found a handful of believers. So they began to find different ways to reach people. And so they started in Maoz. They felt like God had given them a download of some real practical revelations of how they could reach people in Israel with the gospel. And so there wasn't really anything organized or formed that we would know as a messianic organization. Of course, there were other believers at the time, but not very many. And so they formed this organization, and they realized we've got to translate materials and books and Bibles. And so now we've continued all these different things. They leadership conferences. They started some of the first Hebrew-speaking congregations. And I know that sounds kind of like a no-brainer nowadays, but back then it was very controversial. Even among Israelis, they said, well, you know, we're used to hearing the gospel and things in English. And they said, but you guys are fluent in Hebrew. It's your first language. They said, yeah.
We call that heart language.
Yes, their heart language. It does. And they're not having to think and translate in their heads. And they said, well, they realized that because there were materials in English available, and there were very few things available in Hebrew. So my in-law said, well, let's begin to publish books. Let's begin to publish materials that can help people understand the Bible. And so that's how a lot of things started. And then they started congregations that spoke Hebrew. There weren't any worship songs that you could worship Jesus, Yeshua, in Hebrew. So they began to pay a worship leader, a songwriter, to really pioneer this aspect. So they were real pioneers and realized in order to have a thriving community of believers in a unreached land, we really have to pioneer a society and a culture. And we need resources, we need tools, we need to aid people, we need to support believers to create businesses, to help them when they have needs. So we've all these aspects of what Maoz has done for 50 years, and my wife and I have now taken the torch of leadership for quite a few years. My in-laws are still around. They're still vibrant in their 80s, but they're helping us now, supporting us as we're taking the lead. And so in this time of war, for example, we've kept the same vision. The vision doesn't change. My father-in-law said a true vision should be multi-generational, or it's just a good idea.
Yeah.
And so we've seen that kind of like AFR, AFA, as I'm meeting you guys once again. First time I was here was before the pandemic, so it's great to be back. And as we've seen, okay, the Lord is building something here. What the Lord builds is not in vain. What man builds is often in vain. It comes crumbling down. But when the Lord builds something, it sustains and lasts. And so we've seen this ministry that was based off of trying to reach Israel with the gospel is now reaching, in some ways, its prime, because we're in such a time and season where Israel's eyes are being opened like we've never seen.
Well, today our guest is Kobe Ferguson with Maoz Israel Ministries, and he has told us the history of how it started. And you would be surprised, Kobe, how many people I interview, and it's the second and third generation of that ministry. Now, that is awesome because, and I'm going to do a little Bible teaching here because I found out there's a tendency, not a principle, not necessarily, quote, a pattern, but a tendency for there to be a generational slide.
Yes.
In other words, like it's better said, God has no grandchildren. They're all children.
Absolutely.
And so for it to go second and the generation, third generation, even further, it is sustaining. And I would agree with your father-in-law. That's visionary, not just a good idea. There's been a lot of good ideas that started in good ministries, and that's great. We don't say, oh, that's bad. But when it's multi-generational, and because it talks about there in Deuteronomy, let me see, you parents, I want you to model what you've been taught, what you believe with your lifestyle and teach it. This is exciting to hear this, Kobe.
People say, well, you don't sound like you're from Israel. Well, I originally am from the U.S.
What part of the U.S.?
Well, my father was studying in a university in Dallas. I was born in Dallas. We moved to California, so kind of all over.
Oh, man.
But my parents are from Birmingham, Alabama, so I also spent a good bit of my life in the South.
Have you noticed the connections with God?
It's remarkable, right?
It is.
I mean, for him, everything, we have a very small world, and the Lord finds a way to connect us.
He really does. And when that connection happens, that's the reason there's this song, So Glad to Be a Part of the Family of God, and it says, notice we say brothers and sisters around here, and that is so true.
It really is.
We are. But let me ask you about your salvation.
I was just there, actually, a few days ago.
You were in Birmingham? Mm-hmm. It's a great place. And my grandchildren are there, so it makes it even greater, okay?
Absolutely.
That's the way it is. Listen, tell us about you coming to Christ.
So my father was a minister. He planted, as far as we know, the first interracial congregation in Selma, Alabama. So I grew up for the majority of my kind of formative years in Selma, and just sadly began to walk away from the Lord. The enticements of this world and the lusts of this world drew me away, and I began to experiment with drugs, and I began to play music. I was really drawn to music. I played drums and different instruments, but I became pretty proficient on the drums, and I played in bars and clubs and festivals, and I began to travel all over the southern area of the U.S., something they call the Chitlin' Circuit. That's all the places.
That's got to be southern.
All the places that they eat chitlins, I guess. I never asked them, but I figured that's what it meant. So that was my heart. I wanted to do that, and there was a lot of things that went along with that that were ungodly. And I basically tell people for many years I worked for the devil, really. and helped get his message out there. And I went to a church with my parents. My sister had passed away at 22 years old, my older sister. And my parents, we were all grieving. And then they said, hey, let's go visit a church that's happening. They're having a revival. And I'd been out of church. I'd been out of all that for many, many years. And I said, okay, I'll go with you guys. It was near the beach. That's why I wanted to go, in Pensacola, Florida. And I went to this service and I thought, oh, what am I doing here? I can't wait to get out of here. These long services, you know. But I could feel something happening to me and I could feel a conviction. And when they gave an altar call, you have to realize I was so unchurched. When they gave an altar call, I had no idea what they were talking about. I went up to the front and I said, where's the altar? And I thought it was something with an animal burning on it. Yeah. I didn't realize it was churchese. And the deacon said, it's the steps, son. Come to the steps. I realized later that's not as an eloquent way to, you know, they don't call people to the steps. Yeah. You know, they call them to the altar. I said, oh, okay, the altar means steps. All right. So later I understood. But I came down and I just began to feel something and I began to have my heart broken. And I realized that I was in sin and I needed to get my life right with the Lord. And I was being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I gave my life to the Lord, and a man who had come down to lead me in the prayer, sinner's prayer, was a leader named Dr. Michael Brown, who was a messianic leader. Yes. And he basically kind of mentored me. And he said, at first, hey, son, I think you should come to the Bible college that we're starting here. So eventually, long story short, that's what I did. And I met my wife, who had come from the other side of the world. She came from Israel to also study there. And I realized the Lord wasn't just connecting me with Israel, because I began to feel my heart burning for Israel, connecting with the Jewish roots and connecting with our faith. And I realized I was connecting also with an Israeli, not just Israel.
Yeah.
And so we graduated from the school and I moved to Israel. So a radical, I tell people I met a man named Yeshua, a Jewish man named Yeshua that changed my life forever. And so I'm just grateful for he who has been forgiven much, loves much. And so it's my passion to see, by whatever means possible, people all over the world, but specifically in Israel, Jews and Arabs. I have a passion also to see the Arab people come to faith in the Jewish Messiah, the God of Israel.
Amen, brother. I just tell you, that warms my heart to see how God did not let go. You know, there's this song, The Goodness of God, and it says he's running after me.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Sounds like he ran after you, brother.
You know, the scripture that says, and we know the Psalm 23, says goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's what I think most translations say in English. But in Hebrew, it says, estov v'chesed yerdefuni, which means that goodness and mercy will run after me. It's literally as if somebody is running to tackle somebody. We're in football country here, right? I can talk about that. So people, it's like, you know, the linebacker running after the running back. You know, that's goodness and mercy are going to run after us.
Yeah.
And so all the prayers of my grandmother, my parents, all those years, and I'm kind of ashamed when I look back at those years of sin, but I see something good that came out of it.
God uses everything.
He used all the prayers to just come after me, and the Lord tackled me. And that was one of the reasons I remember being up at that altar, those steps. Weeping. I started crying, and I was not a person that was given to that. And it's because I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, I've been here the whole time, son.
Amen.
I've been here the whole time.
Brother, your testimony is awesome. There's another song, When God Ran. It's talking about the prodigal son, and
it's really awesome.
The faithful father. Mm. How faithful is he, Kobe? God's at work in Israel right now.
That's right.
He's using you guys, but not just in Israel. Y'all've got other locations that you are reaching out to people, especially the Jewish community. So God sees the world. I understand that. Everybody's precious in his eyes. I know that. But Israel is that location where he has chosen to make his glory shine.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Tell us about the other locations. What's going on there?
Well, we have offices, branches all over the world, and really to help open people's eyes for countries in around the world, like Brazil and Germany and Korea, that speak other languages. They translate the materials that we write to try to get the church involved in what is happening in Israel. So our main branch of operations and our outreach is in Israel. Our offices are in Jerusalem. But the other nations are coming alongside to support us. We actually have 9 offices around the world. And also, yes, reaching out to the community there. And what we're seeing is something that's fascinating. As Christians began to get involved in helping Israel, praying for Israel, organizing in different ways, the Lord is blessing them. It doesn't mean, you know, that they're getting brand new Cadillacs. Or I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
But there's something supernatural that the Lord told us would happen back early on in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3. So I'll bless those who bless you. And he says that again to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Same promise.
Same
statement. Same promise. I will bless the nations who support this little people called Israel. And it's not because Israel's better. A lot of people have, I think, taken it wrongly. We hear, oh, the chosen people. So that means, you know, it's like my kids. If I choose one of my kids to do something, the other one just feels instantly rejected. And I said, no, I have something else for you to do. Yeah, but you chose him to do this. That means I'm not chosen. And I said, no. You're the Christians, the Gentiles, which just means the nations in Hebrew, word means the non-Jews, they're called for a much bigger purpose, actually a more grandiose. If you look at the sheer numbers let you know that God has a purpose and plan for the Gentiles and the Jews. And in fact, unlike what we see in the prodigal son story, I think the Lord is kind of redeeming that story, that there's two sons, and the one son will help go bring back the prodigal son. So in these last days, we're seeing a Christian Gentile church that's not just blaming the son who went away vis-a-vis Israel, but we see a born again, compassionate, loving son who loves the father and says, Father, I know you love your other son, Israel. I'm going to help bring that son back home. And that's what we're seeing in these days and age. There's a lot of Christians who misunderstand Israel. There's a lot of hate towards Israel and strange doctrines and teachings. But I think your typical, average, genuine born-again believer, I find to be a lover of Israel by default, because it's the same God who loves us and who loves them.
I agree with you. And here at AFR, I know you found a friend, and God has blessed AFR as we have carried the gospel to all peoples, no one, but yet at the same time having this special relationship with the people of Israel. And whether they're in the nation of Israel or whether they're here in or any other nations, one of my favorite plays that was made into a movie is Fiddler on the Roof. Now, I'm not a musical guy, but I love that musical, because when those Russian Jews had to depart their little village that had become home, they went all around the world. And one of the ladies that is leaving, and they said, where are you going? And she was going to Israel. That was in 1917. I know that's just a play, but things like that happened. They started going back.
Absolutely.
And then in 1948, they were able to declare independence as a nation. They're a nation, and they've had that. Man, I just want you to know, there's a lot of people praying for Israel, Kobe.
Right. We have Iran attacked us for the first time in history on April 13th, earlier this year, 2024. That's something that we've never seen before. And as we're preparing for another attack, and, you know, my heart is unusually calm. And I can tell you, and this just encourage anyone who's listening, I know it's because of people's prayers. I can feel it. It's hard to describe, but I should be going crazy right now. I should be concerned. I should be You know, I'm talking about in the natural, you know, in human yes. ways. But you know what? My daughter is very, I can't tell a lot about what she does, but my daughter just turned 19 and she's been serving since the war began and she's very close to the action.
Yeah.
And so we get a little nervous. I just wrote her a few minutes ago before I came on air with you and she responded, I'm okay. We're all good. You know, they're living in culverts that are basically reinforced pipes because of the, you know, the number one cause of death is the shrapnel. And then with the missiles that Iran is claiming they're going to send launch at us, the death from implosion or the shock wave is deadly. People's insides are damaged and you have internal damage instantly. And they're meant to destroy entire neighborhoods, some of the missiles that they fire. But, you know, this is where I see the church being called to
stand.
At a
time such as this.
This is what it is. We've never seen levels of anti-Semitism like we're seeing now. But I want people to be encouraged. I think this is why it's important for them to connect with ministries that are giving information from the land of Israel. Because you're not going to hear on social media everything that's happening. You're going to get some details, and there are some trusted news sources, but you're not going to hear what God is doing in the land. And that's the thing that I think has been hidden, is that he wants to use the church to bless Israel now and to stand with Israel now. And as I can tell you, as a real life example, as Israelis hear about Christians praying for them, many of them have never heard something like that. They think the whole world hates them.
Yeah.
And I saw a young woman, my daughter was telling me this, one young woman who was crying when she realized Christians are praying for us. Yeah. You mean we have people out there who love us? Yeah. People's eyes are being opened to the truth during this time.
Brother, I want you to know AFR and our listeners are praying, standing with you. And we're praying that this time of conflict would lead to a great victory.
Amen.
There is no victory without conflict.
That's right.
In Joshua chapter 3, where they were getting ready to go into the land, he said in chapter 3, verse 10, it tells about all the Canaanites and all those that were waiting on them. It was completely covered, and yet God brought them the victory. God's purposes will not be thwarted. It will happen.
Yes, sir.
Kobe, you've blessed us, brother.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Great to be here. Shalom, shalom.
Thank you for being with us today here on Exploring Missions. And we want you to be praying for Israel and be praying that the church would be active in winning them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be on mission for Jesus right now, even today.